This is the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL. Call the show now at 722-0839. Like the Bruce Siski Show on Facebook and follow Bruce on Twitter at Bruce Siski. Now, with the latest local, regional, and national sports, here's Bruce.
Tuesday morning, it is 10:11 on this 21st day of April, 2020. This is the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and 103.9 KDAL. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up at about 10:35, we'll be talking to Jim Buckley, longtime part of the staff at Sports Illustrated, among other publications, and now has a new book out, a graphic novel, as they call them, on the history of Babe Ruth, who's about to mark, he's dead, so he's not marking anything. We are about to mark the 100th anniversary of Babe Ruth's debut with the New York Yankees. And this graphic novel tells some pretty cool stories from back in the day. It's fully illustrated. It's kind of a craze that we've seen a little bit here in recent years, that these graphic novels telling true-ish stories. And, you know, it's one thing to just detail the timeline of Babe Ruth. And this book actually does that, but this tells stories up to the passing of Babe Ruth at the age of 53. So this is out right now. We'll tell you how to get it and tell you about it with Jim Buckley coming up at about 10:35 this morning. A tough news yesterday from Duluth Mayor Emily Larson, who announced some spending cuts that are being made by the administration here in Duluth, talking about a budget shortfall of $25 million as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And obviously a lot of that loss, that financial hit the city is taking, comes from the loss of tourism dollars, people that simply won't be coming up. You know, and it's tough because you know that these impacts are going to be felt. And we talked about this with the cancellation of Grandma's Marathon, that these are impacts that will be felt outside of Duluth. It won't just be things that happen here in Duluth. But this is the impact that we're having right now within the city. And Larson announced, among other things, the city is closing Lester Park Golf Course for the summer. That is a cost-cutting measure. And you have probably heard the topic brought up before regarding these golf courses, the two city-owned ones, Lester Park and Enger Park, that have consistently operated at a loss. And at this point in time, it's tough to continue to operate a golf course at a loss. The Lake Superior Zoo will not be open until at least July 1st. Park Point Beach, same thing. The Beach House, I should say, closed until at least July 1st, as is Wade Stadium. Now, Wade Stadium being closed, that is more of a job loss for people the temporary summer workers that go in there and help maintain the facility, than it is, realistically, a loss of an event venue. It's a baseball stadium that right now has no baseball. St. Scholastica plays their home games there. The Saints have already canceled their season. UMD will play home games there when weather does not permit them to play at Bulldog Park. UMD has canceled its baseball season. All college baseball seasons are off. High school teams have not played baseball, and we might find out as soon as this week that they're not going to play baseball. They've been hinting about that for a while. I think that's the realistic conclusion to all of this, is that at some point in time, the Minnesota State High School League is going to cancel the spring sports season. And that's when that happens, then it's official that Wade Stadium has nothing except the Duluth Huskies. And the Huskies season is officially on hold until at least May 27th, which is only a one-day delay, honestly. But the reality is the Huskies season is probably not going to start until mid-June at the earliest. Not only do you have to contend with varying, you know, states doing stay-at-home orders of their own for a prescribed length of time, but the league also has to deal with trying to get its players from all over the country to these upper Midwest locales, and that might be easier said than done. So the Northwoods League has got to fight a couple of battles here that won't be easy for it to win, and the reality is the Northwoods League is probably not going to be starting until at least June 15th. But even if they start June 15th, the Huskies won't be at home until at least July 1st. That's per the order from the mayor yesterday, which would still be 2 weeks on the road. Right now, it's more than a month straight on the road for the Huskies, which would not be fun. But, again, I don't see the Northwoods League starting up on May 27th. I'm, again, trying to be realistic about this for everybody. Not being negative, trying to be realistic. There's a difference. As far as the high school seasons are concerned, Governor Walz speaking yesterday, as he does pretty much every day, one-time assistant football coach at Mankato West High School, and you know this just has to kill him to talk about this, but because he's going to hold the hammer on the high school spring sports season ultimately. And Walz said yesterday when asked that he believes it is unlikely Minnesota schools will open during the academic year, that they will remain closed in favor of distance learning. Walz said he'll make a decision about schools likely sometime this week. Right now, the order is in effect until May 4th regarding schools. Why does he hold the hammer on the spring sports season? He's not going to cancel it himself, no. But the Minnesota State High School League has made it pretty clear that if the governor keeps the schools closed for distance learning, they will eventually cancel the spring sports season. That is what's happened in other states. It's going to happen in all likelihood today in Wisconsin. And at some point it will probably happen as well in Minnesota. And you know, my heart goes out to all the seniors, especially the seniors. And it obviously these effects go beyond the seniors. So I don't want to forget about everybody else. But with all due respect, this is just gut-wrenching to think about from a standpoint of these seniors. You know, we've talked about it at the college level where the majority of these seniors out there, Division I, Division II, Division III, they're going to have an opportunity if they want to come back and play their senior season again next year. That opportunity does not exist for high school athletes. They are graduating in June and they are going to move on with their lives. And many of them are not going to play a sport in college. So for them, that's really where it starts for me being heartbroken, knowing some seniors, you know, through the ties that my kid has developed over his time in schools, who are either one sport kids or a spring sport was their number one sport. And maybe they were good enough to get a look in their senior year from a Division II or Division III college, and now that's not going to happen. Or if they knew, you know, my son, for example, a hockey player, he knew he was done when his last game ended. He had made the decision he's not going to pursue it. And that's fine. That's his call. But even for a kid like that, this stinks because now you don't know. I mean, my son knew when his season was ending. These kids didn't know. This hit them like a ton of bricks. So I continue to feel for all of them. But the reality is the reality at this point, that the spring sports are going to get canceled. Wisconsin, we're expecting to hear that today. The WIAA Board of Control will meet and take up the topic of spring and summer sports that the WIAA sponsors expectation is it's all going to get canceled. Even if they try to keep things afloat, there will eventually have to be some decisions made because a number of the spring sports state tournaments cannot be played in the venues that were scheduled to play them in because of the University of Minnesota and the University of Wisconsin both being closed to all non-essential events until at least June 30th. We have the NFL draft coming up on Thursday night for round one. Vikings picking 22nd and 25th. Chad Graff of The Athletic will join us on the radio show Thursday, and we'll get a complete preview of the Vikings going into the draft, what they need, potential for trades, that type of deal, things to look out for during the draft. That's with Chad Graff of TheAthletic.com on Thursday. Then Chris Long of KSTP Television Friday will recap round one. Again, thinking the Vikings are going to use two picks. Obviously, trades could change that, but at this point, they're scheduled to pick twice in round number one. The Packers will pick 30th in round one on Thursday. And for Green Bay, a couple of different things that I think are interesting here. Number one is the wide receiver situation. The Packers had a great campaign last year, winning the NFC North, and they did it with only one truly viable top-flight receiver in Davante Adams. Geronimo Allison was given an opportunity. Marquez Valdes-Scantling given an opportunity to step up and be the number two receiver. And neither of them were able to do that. Allison just dropped the ball too many times, and MVS was not reliable enough. So that's a problem. And the Packers, they signed Devin Funchess in a free agency, but I don't know that he is the answer as a number two receiver. Yesterday, the Jacksonville Jaguars surprised many by releasing wide receiver Marquise Lee. Lee only played in six games last season, three catches for 18 yards, missed all of 2018 thanks to multiple ligament tears in his left knee. So he's a bit of, kind of damaged goods. But the Packers offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, was hired from Jacksonville. He knows Marquise Lee very well. And the former second-round draft pick will probably be attractive for some teams in free agency. Again, I don't know that he is, at this stage in his career, a viable option as a number two receiver. I hope he is. I don't know. But that might be another option here for Green Bay to consider as we head into the draft. The Vikings have 13 picks as of right now. The Packers have 10. Likely both numbers will change as trades are made during the draft, both Rick Spielman and Brian Gutekunst. Spielman, obviously more of a 10-year. Developing a reputation as being guys that are willing to make trades and move around in the draft as they see fit. They have both done it a lot in recent years, and Gutekunst only has a couple of drafts under his belt, but he's done a good job of that, of moving around and making, doing what he thinks he has to do to get the players that he wants. So we'll see if he does that again here in 2020. Gutekunst also asked yesterday about a potential successor to Aaron Rodgers. He does say there's been some talk. Keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers right now, going into his age 37 season, is older than Brett Favre was when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers as Brett Favre's potential replacement. Now, Rodgers, he's got 4 years left in Green Bay when you count the potential franchise year at the end. That's assuming there's no new contract at any point. But Rodgers has four more years in Green Bay. He's 37 this season. In December, I think he turns 37. So he'll play into his 40s if he plays out this deal, and he has said he wants to play beyond that. So it's not a lock that they draft the quarterback. And even if they do draft the quarterback, there's a possibility that it ends up being like a Ty Detmer, Mark Brunell type from back in the day where the Packers draft him, develop him, and then they trade him. So he can start somewhere else because they had Brett Favre, and Brett Favre was going nowhere at the time. There was no reason to even consider moving Brett Favre, so they didn't. Gutekunst also asked about the future of the NFL going into the 2020 campaign, and obviously there's a lot up in the air right now regarding even fall sports. And he was vague. He just, you know, kind of boilerplate answer. We hope that we have a season. We hope that things work themselves out. We can have training camp start on time, and we can have a season. Because right now, we don't know. You know, we talked to Kurt Wiese, UMB football coach, on Friday, podcasted at KDAL610.com. Right now, they're planning for the 2020 season, and the expectation is they will have a 2020 season start on time, but the reality is that could very easily change at a moment's notice. But you have to plan and go forward like things will be normal, at least for now. 1026, Jim Buckley on the Babe Ruth graphic novel. That comes your way next. This is the Bruce Siskey Show on 610 FM 103.9 KDAL 1026.
The place to be for local sports. It's the Bruce Siskey Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:30 Tuesday morning. Tomorrow, Zach Schneider, KBJR 6, my 9, or excuse me, my 9, I guess, primarily. He is the television voice of UMD hockey, and we're going to do a fun little thing tomorrow where we name the all-time Bulldog team, but we can only factor in the years where we've covered Bulldog hockey. For me, that goes back to 2005, and for Zach, it goes back to 2010. That's on tomorrow's show. Pretty fun thing coming up also with UMD hockey that we will detail on the radio show in the coming days. But I want you to be listening for that, Bulldog hockey fans, and able to jump online and be a part of it there. Jim Buckley on his Babe Ruth graphic novel after the news from CBS on KDAL.
The Bruce Siskey Show.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody,
I want to go fast,
then get him a suit.
On 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
On this Tuesday morning, glad to have you along. 610, 103.9 KDAL. Author Jim Buckley here in just a couple of moments, and we'll talk about his graphic novel on Babe Ruth, which I'm looking forward to having a conversation about because it's cool. Graphic novels are basically, I don't want to say they're comic books, because it seems almost like that's a really incomplete way of describing them. But it's comic content, and you hear novel, and Dave and Tom and I were talking about this morning. You hear the word novel, and you immediately think it's fiction, but it's not in this case. A graphic novel, it includes fiction, it includes nonfiction. It includes biographies like this. This is a biography of Babe Ruth done in graphic novel format. And they're different than comic books. They're a lot more involved. But this is a fully illustrated biography of Babe Ruth. And obviously this is geared more towards kids. That's how graphic novels work. But I know there are a lot of adults that are really into this format, and they enjoy these types of publications. So we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. One baseball-related note, Twins and Brewers among 18 Major League teams, according to ESPN, that will continue to pay non-playing staff through May 31st. Non-playing staff would be front office members, scouts, major and minor league field staffs. Now, a lot of the higher-ups in these organizations are taking significant pay cuts to facilitate no job losses and, you know, the ability to continue to pay the other staff, folks that maybe could ill afford to go through a job loss at this time. The Twins had already pledged over $1 million, as had the Brewers. to provide wages to part-time employees during the pandemic as all these games are being canceled. And now they're pledging to make sure that staff is paid through May 31st, which is a very cool measure. And again, a lot of other teams are joining in. Those that haven't yet, they're probably going to. A lot of them will, at least, because they're going to see this wave and they're not going to want to be on the sidelines while it's going on. And one more note, and we'll break and talk to Mr. Buckley here in a couple of moments. Officials at Canterbury Park have submitted a plan to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture to take the first step toward live racing, and that is going to be to open up the stables and get horses on the grounds. They want to start that on May 4th, even if the stay-at-home order is extended past that date. The Shakopee track has requested a critical sector worker exemption from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, which is reviewing the proposal. It includes detailed safety protocols to prevent the spread of coronavirus. The original opening day of May 15th has been postponed, but VP of Racing Ops Andrew Offerman says the immediate concern is getting permission to open the barns soon, accommodate the horses and people left with no other place as tracks close around the country. At least get them in-house and try to take the proper precautions while they are doing so. 1040, author Jim Buckley joins us next. We'll talk about the Babe Ruth graphic novel, Bruce Siskey Show, 610, 103.9, KDAL.
The Bruce Siskey Show.
That isn't great out there today.
Thank you.
But you weren't that great. A lot of that was luck.
Well, some might call it luck. I'd like to call it, well, luck, I guess. So what?
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAL.
1043. Sunshine, but cool temperatures outside. What are you going to do? It's been cool throughout the month of April. That just continues. 28 atop the hill, 32 Superior, and a 30 in downtown Duluth. On the phone now, joining us, author Jim Buckley. He's got Show Me History, Babe Ruth, baseball's all-time best. It is a graphic novel. It is out now. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. Thanks for having me on today.
You betcha. What attracted you about the idea of a graphic novel about Babe Ruth?
It's graphic nonfiction, if I want to be real specific. Novels are fake, and this the best part about this story is that it's all true. Graphic nonfiction, the comic book style, is the fastest growing and super popular way to tell stories these days. More and more people, kids and adults alike, are getting entertainment and information from stories told in both picture and text. And we thought Babe Ruth's life would be perfect for this kind of treatment. He was the greatest baseball player of all time. He was one of the greatest celebrities in American history. He was a larger-than-life figure, and his story comes off beautifully in this tale of home runs and hot dogs told in pictures and text.
The timing is perfect with Babe Ruth Day coming up next week to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Babe Ruth joining the New York Yankees, which is part of the story is how Babe Ruth was basically sold to the New York Yankees by their arch nemesis, the Boston Red Sox. And if you haven't heard about the curse of the Bambino, you're probably not much of a baseball fan.
Yeah, it was a terrible day in Red Sox history, and as a Red Sox fan myself, I look back with it with sadness. But it changed baseball for the better. Babe Ruth, or the Red Sox owner Harry Frazee, needed cash, and he had a great asset in Babe Ruth, and he cared more about other things than baseball, and so he got a really good deal. He got a huge pile of cash, a loan, and some other considerations, and Babe Ruth became a Yankee and changed the game. He moved to Yankee Stadium, which was perfect for his left-handed swing. He joined them the same year that they changed the baseball to be harder and higher flying, and his swing was perfect to, you know, take advantage of that harder baseball. And as you know, we've seen the rest since then. He changed how baseball is played, made the home run an essential part of the game. In 1918, he led the American League with home runs with 11. That led the whole league.
Yeah.
3 years later, he had 59. So you can see how much he changed the game and how the baseball changed the game. And he turned things around for a sport that was in trouble.
Babe Ruth, the story of Babe Ruth, I should say, written in graphic nonfiction format by Jim Buckley, our guest right now. You know, it's interesting to think about going back that 100 years, Jim, and you mentioned being a lifelong Red Sox fan. You know, Boston's a big city. It is a gigantic city. It's one of the biggest cities in the country. But even back in 1920, the thought was that Babe Ruth being even bigger star in New York.
Absolutely. You know, he knew it. I mean, he was not that unhappy to be traded. He realized at the time very quickly that New York was the center of baseball, was the center of sports and commerce in America. It was the center of the media in America. There were 14 or 15 daily newspapers in New York City at one time, and all of them seemingly came up with their own nickname for the Babe as they competed. So he started out as the Sultan of SWAT, and everyone tried to top that nickname afterwards. So he was the Great Bambino. He was the Wazir of Wham. He was the Colossus of Clout. It became a race to see who could make the most out of Babe Ruth. So at a time when, and then radio came along in the 1920s to add even more media. So all these people needed stories, and Babe Ruth gave them a new one every day, and New York was the perfect place for him to do that.
Jim, Babe Ruth made a lot of contributions to the game of baseball. What do you think is the most important contribution he made on the field and off the field?
Well, on the field, it was the home run. That pretty much was it. He, you know, amongst showing that power attracts, showing that people dig the long ball. Baseball, that was really not a big part of the game, and it's certainly taken off since then. Ever since then, hitting homers has been the way to the top in baseball. Off the field, he was the first major giant national American sports celebrity, and we are surrounded by sports celebrities in every sport now, and they all take their cues in one way or another from what Babe Ruth did back then. He was such a celebrity that in the off season, he would travel around the country and do vaudeville shows. He would literally just appear on stage, make a few jokes, swing a bat, and people would pay tickets to do that. In fact, in 1926, he visited Duluth, Minnesota, and did a show right there in Duluth as part of his vaudeville tour. So he created the idea that a person who plays a game for a living can be a national hero.
Why is this format so popular, and not just with kids, but you mentioned it with adults as well, and why does it work so well telling this story?
Well, everybody learns two different ways. We learn visually, and we learn with reading text and creating the pictures in our mind. By doing a graphic nonfiction or a graphic novel to tell a story, you do both at the same time. You're able to let people use their imaginations and the story that they're reading in their head, and also to create pictures and visual cues and images that let them understand it in a different way. Especially for younger readers, engaging them visually is a great way to give them cues and context and the ways to step forward in their mind to tell the story in a different way themselves. So it's the idea that we learn both ways, and to put them both together at one time to tell a story seems like it's become a perfect way to do that. People are doing memoirs now in the graphic format. They're doing straight nonfiction, like about science and teaching science and math. And, of course, obviously, there's fantastic stories of fiction and tales of adventure and everything also done as comic books and graphic novels. So to be able to combine my love of sports with writing a comic book, it's perfect.
Kelly Tindall is your illustrator for this book, and the illustrations are fantastic. How closely did you have to work together in order to match everything up the way it works out in the book? Because it seems like that'd be different than writing a kind of traditional book.
Absolutely. It's a very different process, and it's very much like baseball is a team sport, so is making a graphic nonfiction or a graphic novel. Everybody has to work together on the same page. It starts with the script that I write, with creating the dialogue that happens. I also lay out the book in terms of how the story progresses, what are the important points to hit, the information we want to get across. I describe the scenes that I would like to see on the page, but then Kelly brings, and any of the illustrators in the series, bring their own sense of understanding of the story, their own visual storytelling styles. He added a lot of humor to the book, I have to tell you, with the comic way he did some of the people's faces and such. And then that all comes together with the lettering, which is another professional, John Rochelle. He comes in and makes sure that the letters and the sound effects that are so, you know, all the visual design that goes around it works together as well. All in service of making the story come to life on the page. And so it's definitely a team effort, very, very collaborative work.
Like a couple of minutes left here with Jim Buckley, the author of Babe Ruth, Baseball's All-Time Best, part of the Show Me History series of graphic nonfiction, graphic novel, if you'd like to call it that instead. You've covered sports for a long time. What are some of your favorite baseball memories covering the game?
Well, geez, there's so many. My first game was Fenway Park way back when I was a little kid, and I've been a Red Sox fan ever since. I've gotten to see the Red Sox play in the World Series, which was a spectacular memory for me. I went to Fenway Park to watch them win a game there. I've taken my son to a lot of games. That's obviously a big part of baseball for people, is the family connection. So I very much remember all the games that I took my son to over the years. He I've probably seen, you know, 1,000 baseball games in person, and I've never caught a foul ball. At his second game, one of the players tossed him a ball. So I feel like he missed out on the sadness. So, yeah. So that kind of connection to baseball and family is a big part of why I like the game, and that comes up a lot in Babe Ruth. His connection to the fans, especially young people, was a huge part of his life and a huge part of the story of Babe Ruth.
It's part of the Show Me History series. ShowMeHistory.com is the website. Jim Buckley is the author of Babe Ruth, Baseball's All-Time Best. You can pick it up wherever you pick up your favorite books. I really have enjoyed looking at this, Jim. This is very, very well done. It's a great story on one of the great athletes really in the history of sports. I really appreciate the time. Best of luck going forward.
Hey, great. I really appreciate you guys having on. I hope everyone out there is safe and stay safe and is able to enjoy a nice baseball read as we recover from this crazy time.
You and yours stay safe as well, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jim Buckley, our guest, the author of Babe Ruth, Baseball's All-Time Best, part of the Show Me History graphic novel series. And we've actually got a couple extra copies, and I promise you guys I'm going to keep these at my desk. And what we're going to do is once all of this is done, once we can open our building up to the public once again, I'm going to give these away on the air. But we're going to save that until such a time as we can give these away on the air and actually allow you to, if you want to come pick them up, we can arrange that and all that fun stuff. So for now, we're just going to keep these aside. And at some point this summer, hopefully all of this is taken care of and we can get back to some semblance of normalcy. 10:53, wrap it up in a moment. Bruce Siskey, Show 610-1039, KDAL.